you say anything else in the message, the Spirit, capital S, who is in you, is greater than the Spirit, little s, that's in the world. You ought to lift up your hands and give Him praise in this place right now. Well, it doesn't matter what you're going through, the Spirit is greater. The Spirit is greater. The Spirit of God is greater. I said He's greater. He's greater than that depression. He's greater than that trouble you're in. He's greater than that relationship problem. He's greater than that problem on your job. He's greater than that financial issue you're having. I'm telling you, He's greater than all of that. And He's at work in your life. Won't you stretch your hand toward me this morning and pray with me? Father, I praise You for Your word. I praise You for the way Your Spirit is moving and going to move in this place. We thank You that Your Spirit is greater than the Spirit who's in the world. We have nothing to fear because we have you with us. And I pray that Your Spirit would breathe upon every person in this place. You know what they need today. And I pray that Your word would meet them. May Your word meet them right where they are today. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things. And everybody said, but before you sit down, Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through, say it with me, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You may be seated. Hallelujah. We've been in a series in Psalm 23, in case you haven't been here the last few weeks. You're welcome to get those messages if you want to get caught up. And before I get into the message, let me just say real quick, we have a ministry opportunity that we're going to be sharing with you at the very end of the service regarding how we can help with all those who have been devastated in Texas. And so we're going to be partnering with Hearts with Hands. My wife will come at the very end of the service and tell you how we as a church can specifically get involved and helping with that aid. Amen. Fear. We all know what it is, don't we? It's one of the most debilitating emotions known to the human race. Fear is unbelievably powerful. If allowed, it penetrates the heart, it will poison the spirit, and it will paralyze the soul. It can affect you not only mentally and emotionally and spiritually, but it can have an effect on you physically. The great Louis Armstrong, the trumpet player, anybody remember him, recalled that when he was a little boy in Louisiana, an old woman asked him to give her a bucket of water. He said, I went down to the spring, and I started to dip that bucket, and when I saw a pair of the meanest eyes I had ever seen in my life staring, looking right at me. He said, I jumped up and I went running back to the house, and the old woman said to me, Louis, where is my bucket of water? He said, Miss Haley Mae, I can't get you that water. There's a big old alligator in that pond. She said, Louis, that alligator has been there for years. That old critter's probably just as afraid of you as you are of him. He said, Miss Hallie Mae, if that alligator is as afraid of me as I am of him, then that water ain't fit to drink. Now, fear's not an altogether bad thing, is it? For example, we teach our kids to make sure that you don't touch a hot stove. You need to fear that hot stove. You need to fear crossing the road without looking both ways. We teach them these things. We're even told repeatedly in Scripture to fear the Lord. Over and over, to fear Him. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. To be frank, there is a certain part of death I think we all dread. It's the aspect of the unknown. because you only get to experience death one time, and you don't know what it's like until you go through it. But even though we all have to face death, those who have a right relationship with Christ. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? I hope that's you out there today. Those who have a right relationship with Christ don't have to fear death. Notice I said a right relationship with Christ, because without Him, you had better fear death. But with Him, you can confidently say, fear has no hold on me. I said you can confidently say, fear has no hold on me. And in this text before us, the Good Shepherd tells us how the sheep tells the sheep how to face death without fear. First of all, don't be afraid of death's power. Don't be afraid of death's power. Because, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You may not know this, but there is actually a valley in Israel called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. It originated many centuries ago beside a freshwater stream in a valley located between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. It is a steep, deep, narrow canyon that is so steep that the sun, I'm told, only hits it at high noon. Otherwise, most of that time, the bottom of that valley is basically dark. And David compared that valley to death. He expresses no doubt that about the fact that he's going to walk through that valley. He said, even though, yea, though. And that word though is very important, because it could also be translated when. In other words, David was saying, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Death is not a question of whether, but it's a question of when. Hebrews 9 and 28 says, for it is appointed unto man to die once, and then comes the judgment. It reminds me, you know, I'm a big baseball fan, and I like baseball illustrations. It reminds me of two men named Carl and Sam, who were baseball fanatics, and they agreed together that if one of them passed first, that the other one would try to come back and let the other one know whether there's baseball in heaven. So one night, Sam passed away in his sleep, and a few nights later, Carl hears what he hears. He sounds like Sam's voice, and he says, Sam, is that you? And he said, yes, it's me. Carl said, I can't believe it. I just got to know. Tell me, please, is there baseball in heaven? Sam said, well, Carl, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. The good news is, yes, there is baseball in heaven. But the bad news is, you're pitching tomorrow night. Now, a shepherd could really appreciate what David was saying here. Because David is referring to that time of the year when the shepherd would lead the sheep from the lowland to the highland. And the reason he would do that is this. As the snow would begin to melt off the mountaintops, it would give fresh water and fresh grass where the sheep could eat and drink. So the shepherd would lead the sheep from the lowlands, which were now barren and parched from the summer's heat, and take them to where it was cooler and where there was more water available. And the reason why the shepherd always took the sheep through the valley was this. The valley was the only route to higher ground. Somebody will get that here in just a few moments. Every mountain has its valleys, and if you think about it, the best route and oftentimes the only route to the top of the mountain is through the valley. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to hear that today. God is calling us to have a through it mentality. Isn't that the mentality that you and I have to have in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? We have to have a through it mentality. He didn't call us to get in and sit down. He didn't call us to go into the valley and just sit down and say, woe is me, and start feeling sorry for ourselves. But I'm telling you today, God is trying to raise up some people who have a through it mentality. I'm going to get through this. I'm not going to run away from God. I'm not going to run away from the problem. I'm not going to run away from the situation. I'm not going to try to pull the covers over my head and just wish it would all go away, which is what we try to do sometimes. But sometimes we got to rise up and say, I'm going to get through this. I'm going to push through this. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. And I'm going to, oh, glory to God, I'm going to walk with Him through the valley. We've already established that the Lord, the good shepherd of our souls, is leading the surrendered child of God. And if that is the case, if He leads you into the valley, listen, He will lead you through it. He will lead you to the other end of it. That's basically what a valley is. It has an entrance and has an exit. If the Lord leads you into it, He is going to lead you out of it. But you've got to make sure you keep your hand in the shepherd's hand. You've got to keep your hand in the hand of the good shepherd. Hallelujah. We've got to have the mentality of the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:12. He said, not that I've already attained or am already perfected. He said, but I press on. Everybody say that with me. Press on. He said, I press on. You got to have that mentality in your Christian walk. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We used to sing a song many years ago that said, I'm going to walk right out of this valley, lift my hands and praise the Lord. Anybody remember that? I ain't going to let old Satan get me down. Why should I sit here till I die? Heaven's waiting just a little bit higher. I'm going to walk right out of this valley with my Lord. That's a word for somebody here today. You've been in some valley situations, but I'm telling you today, you can't sit there till you die. You've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. You've got to lift up a praise even when you don't feel like you got one. You've got to say, Lord, I praise you in the midst of the valley. Notice something else. He said, I walk, even though I walk through the valley. I think every single word here was very intentionally constructed. I walk through the valley. He doesn't run through the valley, and He doesn't run away from the valley. He can't go over it, He can't go around it, and He can't go under it. He has to go through it. Everybody say through it. But He's in no hurry. Because you see, a valley is not a dead-end street. It's not a cul-de-sac, if you will. Do you know what a valley is? It's a tunnel that opens at both ends. It has an entrance and it has an exit. How many times do we say, I sure would like to hurry and get out of this problem I'm in. I sure would like to hurry and get out of this valley. I sure would like to hurry and get out of this pain. I know what you're thinking. I've been there too. I've said many times, Lord, I wish you would hurry and get me out of the mess I'm in. But could it be sometimes God is saying, oh, you just got to keep your hand in mine. You can't rush on and get ahead of me. I'm telling you, I would much rather be in the valley with the shepherd holding my hand than to be on the mountaintop without Him. I would much rather be in the midst of the storm on a boat with Jesus on my boat with me than to be on the shoreline all by myself. As long as He is with me. I said, as long as He's with you. As long as He is with us, there is nothing that we can't face together. But notice the name of the valley. The name of the valley is not the valley of death. It's the valley of the shadow of death. You know what a shadow is? A shadow is an image without substance. Right? A shadow is an image without substance. Did you know that if you are a child of God, in essence, you don't face death. You only face death's shadow. That's why David said, when it comes to death, I will fear, say it with me, no evil. Why? Because Jesus has already stripped death's power. He's stolen the keys from the devil. He's got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And that's why David, and if he could say it in the Old Testament before Jesus had ever come on the scene, surely to goodness, you and I who are on the other side of this thing, after Jesus died, bled, he was crucified, he was buried, and rose again on the third day, surely you and I can say he's got the keys. He's got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And I do not have to fear evil. I don't have to fear what the enemy's bringing against me, all the attacks he's unleashing against me. I don't have to go over in a corner somewhere and hang my head in defeat, but I can rise up in Jesus' name and say, the Lord is with me. His hand is in my hand. He's walking with me. No matter what I face, he's there. Don't be afraid of death's power, number two. Instead, be aware of God's presence. The reason why David said he feared no evil is because of the second half of verse number 4. For you are with me. Anybody here have that assurance today that the Lord is with you? I think it's very interesting to see the first 3.5 verses. The tense in this is the third person. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. All of that is in the third person. He's talking about the Lord. But then all of a sudden, in that latter half of verse 4, it changes to the second person, to the second tense, right? Now he's no longer talking about the Lord. He's talking to the Lord. Now he says, for you are with me. Why did he do that? Because David knew that sheep never go through valleys alone. Sheep never move through dangerous places alone. The shepherd is always there. That's a word for somebody here in this congregation today. I'm telling you, the Lord is always there. As a matter of fact, Jehovah Shammah means the Lord is there. Hallelujah. He's God Emmanuel. He is God with us. You may think the Lord has forsaken you. The Lord's not hearing you. The Lord doesn't care. But I'm here to tell you he does. He's listening to you. He's with you. He hasn't forsaken you. As a matter of fact, he said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will go with you all the way to the end of the age. Just keep pressing on. Breakthrough is coming. You've got to believe that. Your praise and your worship and your faith and your putting your hand in his hand is going to generate breakthrough. Think about this. We are told that we're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm going to take off this coat if it's all right with you, because I'm getting excited up here and working up a sweat. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Have you ever heard someone say they're afraid of their own shadow? I've got a cure for that. Because how many of you know that there cannot be a shadow unless there is light? Some of you will get this in a minute. There cannot be. As a matter of fact, the light is what's producing the shadow. So, how do I get over the shadows of my life? How do I get through the shadows of my life? Well, maybe you need to stop facing the shadows, turn away from the shadows, and turn to the light. Because when you begin to focus on the light, anybody know who I'm talking about? When you start focusing on Jesus, the light of the world, the shadows have to go behind you. As you face the light before you, the shadows have to go behind you. Too many people are focusing on their shadows, and they're focusing on all their problems, and they're focusing on all their circumstances. But he said, I want you to turn away from the shadows. I want you to turn your life. I want you to turn your face. I want you to turn your spirit towards the light, because he said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world, and he who follows after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I don't know about you today, but I'm not going to focus on the shadows of my life. I'm going to focus on the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's still in control. He's still shining his path upon my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of my favorite verses in the scripture is Isaiah 43:12. He said, even though I walk, when you pass through the waters, he said, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame scorch you. In other words, he's saying, you're not going to drown. In other words, he's saying, you're not going to get burned up. In other words, he's saying, when Jesus is there, when Jesus is walking with you, you don't have to fear, because Jesus is near. Hallelujah. Let's take a little bit deeper look. The shepherd never takes his flock where he has not already been before. Death is just a shadow of its former self. Why? Why is death just a shadow of its former self? Because of the cross. Because of the burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, I've said it before and I've got to say it again right here. He's already taken the keys. He's already conquered death. He's already conquered hell. He's already conquered the grave. So you and I do not have to fear death. As a matter of fact, Colossians 2:15 said Jesus disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the cross. Hallelujah. I don't look forward to dying. I don't know anybody here that does, but I don't have to fear death, because I know he's going to be there when it's time for me to take my last breath on this earth. Anybody know that you can have peace and you can know that Jesus will send his holy angels and take you home? As a matter of fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:51, he said, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortality must put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The strength of sin is death, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're thankful for that victory today, put your hands together and give him praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lastly, thirdly, be assured of the Lord's protection. You don't have to be afraid of death's power. Instead, you can be aware of his presence, and you can be assured of the Lord's protection. He closes by giving us another reason why we don't need to fear. He says, because my rod and my staff, they comfort. David said, they comfort me. You know, in the Middle East, the shepherd really only had two tools, the rod and the staff. And when the shepherd was finally given his own flock, he would go into the bush, cut down a young sapling, carve it and whittle it down with great care until the enlarged base of that sapling, where the trunk joined the roots, was shaped into a smooth, rounded head of hardwood. And that sapling, about 2 to 3 feet long, would be shaped to fit the shepherd's hand perfectly. And that rod became an extension of the shepherd's right arm. It was a symbol of his strength and his power. And the purpose of the rod was to guard the sheep. Anybody here thankful for the protection of the Lord?
the good shepherd. That shepherd would take that rod and he would drive pieces of metal into the knob. And with that rod, he would use it as a club to guard off the wolves and to fend off the snakes and any other kind of animal that would come against the sheep. And whenever the sheep would see the rod in the shepherd's hand, there would be a calmness and there would be a peace that would come over the sheep. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that calmness and that peace that comes over me when I know that the Lord's protecting me, and I know that he's watching over me, and he sees what's taking place. And even though I'm in turmoil at times and I feel like I'm helpless at times, the shepherd still got it. The shepherd still got me. The shepherd still got you. He's guarding us. But he also had a staff, and where the rod was there to guard the sheep, the staff was there to guide sheep. And if you think about it, the staff more than any other item identifies the shepherd as the shepherd. No one in any other profession in history carries a shepherd's staff except a shepherd. And to make a staff, the shepherd would do something very similar as with the rod. He would go find another sapling. And while it was green and while it was pliable, he would bend the end of that sapling into that curve or that crook, if you will. And then he would tie it off so that it would stay in place until it dried and stayed in that position permanently. And he would put it in that place so that it would be just the right fit to go around the belly of that sheep or around the neck, depending upon the size of the sheep. And sometimes the sheep would wander, and the shepherd would simply reach out with the crook of that staff and grab the sheep by the neck and pull him back into the fold. Aren't you thankful that the shepherd gently pulled you back in at times when you started veering away and getting off track? Aren't you glad that he would take that staff sometimes and kind of gently nudge you and say, wait a minute, you got to keep going? Because that's what the shepherd would do sometimes. He would have to nudge the sheep and get them to move on. And sometimes we get complacent and God says, wait a minute, it's time to move on. You've got to move forward. You can't stay where you are. Other times a sheep might slip over a steep ravine and get entangled in a thorn bush and stumble into some kind of rocky creek bed. Then the shepherd would take that staff and put it under the belly of that sheep and gently lift it up out of that hole or that entanglement and restore it to the flock. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that the Lord over and over and over again has gently taken his staff and lifted me up out of that entanglement, lifted me up out of that hole. Oh, I'm so glad that he had enough mercy and care and compassion for my soul to never give up on me. I'm so thankful for the day that he brought me out of that horrible pit, set my feet upon a rock to stay, establish my steps, put a new song in my mouth. And he said, many will see it and give praise unto the Lord. He is our good shepherd today. There was nothing more comforting to the sheep than the sight of the rod and the sight of that staff, because he knew that the rod would guard them and the staff would guide them. As I begin to bring this to a close, the whole point of this entire verse, if you walk with God through life, God will walk with you through death. And I don't just mean the ultimate death when we all die. He'll be with you through the deaths of life, if you will, the hard times, the shadows of life, the difficulties. Oh, hallelujah. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Listen to the voice of the shepherd and follow him even when you're in the valley. Just keep walking with him, listening to him, allowing him to guide you. He will walk with you all the way to the end, and you will enjoy each other's fellowship and friendship forever. Anybody looking forward to eternal life with the good shepherd? Don't you forget these wonderful truths. As I give you the scripture in Romans 8, he said, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and is furthermore also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress?" Some of you have been in that lately. "Persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But aren't you thankful the Good Shepherd loves us so much? The Good Shepherd still watches out for the sheep. Yet, in all these things," you'll get that in a minute, "in all these things," not when you get out of them, not when you get to the other side, not when you're on the mountaintop, not when the sun is shining again, he said, "in all these things, you are more than conquerors." Woo! You are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then he ends it this way, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." If you're thankful for that this morning, stand where you are and give him praise. Stand and give him glory and honor. He will never leave you. He will not forsake you. You've got to keep your hand in the shepherd's hand. You can't come, you can't go away from him. You can't run away from him. You can't take yourself out of the fold. You've got to keep on coming to him and saying, "God, here I am. Here's my hand. Here's my heart. Here's my life. Take me and lead me and guide me into your perfect divine will in my life." Hallelujah. "I will fear no evil." Say it with me. "I will fear no evil." One more time. "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Come on, praise him. You believe that this morning. You are with me, Lord. You are with us, Lord. You are with us, or you're with us individually. You're with us as families. You're with us as a church. You're with us in guiding us into the future. You're with us, God. You're with us. Hallelujah. And somebody here this morning might just need an extra dose of assurance. I need to know that the Lord is with me. I will tell you, you've got a church family. He will gather around you and help remind you with compassion and love, "I am with you." Jesus. Oh, I feel his presence. As they sing it, "Give me faith," I want you to come. The Spirit is leading you to come to the altar this morning. It doesn't matter what the need is, no matter what you face, no matter what you're going through, I'm telling you, there's a God who cares. And if you're trying to live this life without Jesus, you're trying to do your own thing and go your own way, I'm telling you, it is a path that will end in destruction. So why don't you surrender your life to Jesus today? Stop running from Him and run to Him. Jesus, I confess my sins and I repent of my lifestyle and I turn to You with my whole heart. Save me, Lord. Save me, Good Shepherd. You gave Your life for me. I want to give my life to You. I want to honor You and serve You, Lord. If that is You, call on Him. Come to this altar. There'll be somebody right there to help you and pray with you and lead you to that place of surrender. Come on, honor Him today. Respond to the Spirit of the Lord as they sing it.
Give me faith to trust what You say, that Your good and Your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give You my life. All I am, I surrender. Give me faith to trust what You say, that You're good and Your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give You my life.
Maybe we.
I may be weak, Your Spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, my God, You never will. I may be weak, Your Spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, my God, You never will. I may be weak, Your Spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, my God, You never will. I may be weak, Your Spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, my God, You never will. Give me faith to trust what You say, that You're good and Your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give You my life.
Number one.
All I am, just what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my love.
Jesus, I want you to bow your heads just for a moment. Just for a moment, close your eyes. I felt like the Spirit said, There's some that's been wrestling with that spirit of fear. He wants to break that off of you today. If that is you, just lift your hand where you are. Yeah, I see it. I see your hand. Anybody else? Come on, be honest. Be honest. You've been wrestling with that spirit of fear. Anybody else? Come on, be honest. That's the step to breakthrough right there, being honest, being open, being transparent. Anybody else? Yeah. Okay. I want you to reach over someone beside you. If you raised your hand, you're welcome. You're welcome to come to the altar if you'd like to. But I'd like to ask the body of Christ, gently lay your hand on their shoulder. Gently lay your hand on their shoulder. Everybody do it. Come on right now. Gently lay your hand on their shoulder. In the name of Jesus. Father, we come against that spirit of fear. We come against it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Maybe people are not wrestling with it now, but the enemy would love to bring it against us sometime in the future. And so we just stand firm against it, Lord. And those who've been wrestling with it, we just command it to go in the name of Jesus. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we thank you for peace. For peace that passes all understanding. We give you glory and praise for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, because you are our shepherd. You lead us and you guide us to green pastures. You lead us beside the still waters, Lord, and you restore our souls. And even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. And we thank you for that. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise one more time. Let's lift him up. Let's lift him up. Praise him. Praise him. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you all. Laura is going to come at this time and share with you about how we can help with what's happened in Texas. And then, are you doing the announcements as well? Lisa will probably come with a few announcements after that.
Lisa has done such a great job in the bulletin. I really don't have a whole lot to add to that, but I do want to bring your attention to the card that we've inserted inside the bulletin. Hearts with Hands is an organization here in the area that responds to natural disasters. And so they have volunteers who have volunteered their 18-wheelers, and also a community of volunteers that actually transport the material. And so they've already made 4 different trips so far. They could have done that even more since I talked to her a couple of days ago. But they have partnered with 2 churches there in that area, one in Houston and one in Corpus Christi, and they have a huge distribution center. And so anything that we can collect here and give to them, they're out of Candler. We will take our wonderful trailer and take any kind of product that you can bring here, and we'll take it there, and then they can deliver it to those in need in Houston. I will emphasize that they want new and unopened items only, of course, just because of the obvious. So anything from bedding, cleaning supplies, baby supplies, clothing, paper supplies, pet supplies, hygiene kits, and any kind of medical supplies would be greatly appreciated. You know, I've seen several things floating around out there of what they might need, what they don't need. I do know that in the cleanup process, bleach is very much needed. I don't even know if they're in that stage, though, you know, there's so much devastation that you can only imagine. Imagine if you were in that situation and what you would need. And then if you have the means, and if you will sacrifice to help meet the needs of someone else in need, I know that the Lord will bless that. It's just a way to reach out to people in need. It could be us. You never know. From one day to the next. So you have this handy-dandy card to take with you shopping. If for some reason you're not able to go shopping and you want to help, you can see they need financial contributions, of course, just for their operations. And that will go directly to this trip if you label it as such. So you can contact them, phone number, address, and then tell them exactly what you're wanting to do with that money. And they will receive that, of course. If you have any questions, feel free to give me, you know, catch me. I'll be glad to talk to you. Thank you very much for doing that. Our church will be open. We're going to be using the Girls Club room as a storage place for now, and we'll be open on Wednesday evenings and Sundays to collect those items. And then as much as comes in, we'll be delivering that. Did I leave anything out, Dale? We're going to do that through the month of September, at least we've committed to do that. So depending on your response and their need, we'll continue if we need to.
All right, next Sunday is the first practice for our Christmas choir and Christmas play. If you are interested but have not talked to Pastor Tommy, you need to do so today. He still needs some parts covered for our play, and wants to make sure we have all of that taken care of. So please see him. We are also in the early stages of planning for our centennial celebration, which will be held next October. If you have anything that the council can use for display, whether it be pictures, old bulletins, anything that you think might be worthy of displaying for our big celebration, if you could give those to me, we'll make sure that they're taken very good care of and that they are returned to you in the condition that you give them to us. So if you have any questions, feel free to see Pastor Dale or myself. Also, don't forget, Sunday, September 17th, just a couple of weeks away, we're going to start our revival services with Brother Ted Ballard. Please remember, there are flyers at either entrance that you can pick up to take and share with other people. Next Saturday, we will be having a ladies' afternoon of art. You are asked to sign up at the Welcome Center if you are planning to attend. That's from 3 to 5 p.m. I'm just going to go and have some fun and fellowship. So if you are interested, please sign up so that we can give them a number this week. And finally, just remember, because of the holiday weekend, we will not be having services here tonight. I pray that you all have a good evening, and I also pray that you have a blessed week. I did want to mention, I did not get to tell Pastor Dale before he did the prayer request earlier, if you will pray for Co. They came to church, but they had to leave because he was sick, running a fever, vomiting, and so they were taking him to the hospital. So just be in prayer for little Co. We know that he has some health issues, but they wanted us to pray for him. So if you'll stand, we will be dismissed in prayer, and we'll pray a prayer for him. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you have blessed us with today. We thank you for the fact that even though fear surrounds us sometimes, we can turn to you, and that you are there to help us through those times, and that we can always turn to you no matter what. I pray that you would bless us throughout this week, and I pray that you would go with us and keep us in your loving hands. Right now, Lord, we pray for little Co Perez. We just pray that you would put your hands upon him. We don't know what's caused him to have this sickness, if it's dealing with his health concern that he has, or if it's something totally different, but we just pray your hand upon him right now. We pray that you would touch him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, and we just pray for complete healing in your name. Lord, go with us throughout this day and throughout this week, and help us to do things and say things that would be encouraging and uplifting to others, and to always show your love. For it's in your lovely name we pray. Amen.
Trip we already had planned.
Yeah. You guys want to sing too, right? In the choir?
Yeah.